This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Andrea, thanks for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Really happy to tell my story and have a conversation.
Sounds good. So Andrea, why don't we start off if you can tell us a little bit about you and your company, please.
Sure. So my name's Andrea Greenhouse. I have an internal communications agency, which is a little bit of a rare breed, especially here in Canada and in Ottawa. What we do is we help, we're a strategic advisory, internal communications company, and we help organizations, 500 employees or more, communicate with their employees. And when we say strategic, we mean that's communicating with intent. So to improve culture, to drive performance, to improve productivity, to help people feel connected and valued, all those things. And we do everything from the strategy and helping people understand where they can be better to rolling up our sleeves and doing the creative, whether it's writing a newsletter, just one of the things I was doing right before this call, helping a client with their newsletter or at their town hall, or video to share with employees, or their intranet, all those things we touch.
And are you targeting private and public sector or just private sector?
We mainly do private sector. I have a background in change, doing major government transformation projects, but most of our clients are either crown corporations or private sector companies, usually mid-market. We have a large presence in the U.S. as well. So mid-market was, our definition, there's various definitions, but around 1,000 employees to 5,000 employees.
So is most of your work then, is it done remotely? Are you flying into these locations? You mentioned you're doing work around North America. How does that work?
It's all remote. Almost all of it is remote, because even the teams that we work with, for example, one of our clients, we're working with three individuals. One is based in Dallas. One is based in Kansas City, where we always hear about the Chiefs. And the other one is based in Charlotte. And so it's this team that we're working with, but they're all, in different parts of the U.S. So even some of our Canadian clients, there's multiple offices, multiple locations. So most of it is done remotely.
So is this is someone deciding to use your services? Is it an HR person making that decision, or is it a C-level CEO type person that's saying, hey, we're struggling with our internal communication, we need to get help?
I'd like it to be the CEO, but sometimes the size of the company usually means that it's somebody at the C-suite level. Usually it's the vice president of marketing and communication who understands our people are essential to our brand, to our success in the marketplace. And we need expertise specifically on the internal side. A lot of communications professionals have experience building brands, getting known in the marketplace, marketing themselves, but they don't have that unique expertise for, how do I connect with my employees? Sometimes it's, surprisingly enough, CFO who understands the impact on the bottom line, or who's running a lot of transformation projects and understands that we need the right culture to have this change happen in our organization. So one of our primary clients, we've done work on a lot of he's the director of finance and admin, and we've done everything from ESG program to a huge office move, and all sort of transformation related.
And what's the process? Do you go in and do you perform an audit of some kind and look for the weaknesses and then come up with a strategy and then try to implement that strategy? We go through a similar process with my company, we're a marketing agency, we go in, we do a full audit, try to find out where the weaknesses are and then come up. Is it similar in nature?
Very similar. Yeah, very similar. So that's one of our most popular services. We've done audits, like for example, for the University of Waterloo. We've done audits for several cities across North America, and then for some manufacturing companies. And then we'll develop a strategy and help implement. We also can come in at other stages. For example, one of our primary clients, we are their internal communications team. So we're helping daily with delivering information to the employees, whether that's change-related information or just what's going on in the company and why. A big part of our business is on the digital side. So most companies have some kind of intranet where they share information with their employees. A lot of intranets are Microsoft SharePoint, which is actually a document repository, and it's not set up to deliver meaningful, bite-sized information that's targeted and relevant to employees. So we have a lot of tech partners, companies, SaaS companies who have modern platforms that can sort of sit on top of Microsoft and deliver information in a more meaningful way. And so sometimes we're helping them find the right platform. Sometimes we're helping build it and launch it. And sometimes we're working on behalf of these tech companies. So, for example, we have two projects right now with a company called Halo, where we're the implementation team. So, the company has bought, one of them is a casino based in the US, 600 employees. The director of operations was on the kickoff call. He's like, I know how important communication is to the success of my business in this market. Competitive market, customer service, and the client experience of the casino is the most important thing. I need to get the right information to my dealers, my security team, my folks in the restaurants serving meals, and I want to have a connected culture, a service-oriented culture. So we're working with him on building that platform for him.
And how old is the business?
I've been in business for 24 years, and I
Wow.
know we're going to talk about being a business owner in a little bit, but my business has evolved just like I have. I went through, various stages in life, as we all do,
Yeah.
because that's what happens. And so, yeah, my in its current form as an agency with six employees and clients all over North America, it's been about 6 years, but I have been putting a roof over my head and paying myself through my work for 24 years. So I'm really excited about next year and being celebrating 25.
First off, congratulations. 24 years
Thanks.
is that's an amazing accomplishment. And
Thanks.
were you always based in Ottawa?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. And how did you go about getting business in the US? Was it through word of mouth, or did you make it a focused marketing effort in that area, or how did that happen?
Well, the first client came to me on LinkedIn, and that was like, oh, I could do business in the US. And then, of course, through partners, but also because I finally figured out who I sell to, which is other communicators, because they get how
Yeah.
important this is. They understand the level of expertise required. They're not afraid to bring in someone from the outside to give them a bit of support. And once I realized that, I also de that that helped. I also developed a brand and a reputation in the world of communicators. So I was recognized. Last year I received an IABC fellowship, which is IABC is International Association of Business Communicators. It's the largest professional organization of communicators in the world. And their top international recognition is a fellow. And so I am a fellow, one of, like, there's less than 100 in the world ever. So that was huge. But I think I'm also hopefully a fresh voice in the industry. So I spent a lot of time talking about, things that a lot of people don't talk about, which is like communicating like a human, the importance of emotion in our communication. And, when I first said that, people were like, well, don't get emotional in the workplace, right? Nobody crying at your boss's desk is like career limiting mood, but we all have emotions. And if we don't recognize those, we don't acknowledge them in our communication, then we're doing our employees a disservice. So I developed these ideas and these thoughts that I share. And I write a regular blog and I speak at industry events. And so that's, another way that I developed my business.
Being considered a fellow, one of only 100, that's going to bring some really unique marketing opportunities for you for sure.
Yeah,
That's
it
great.
has.
Andrea, what advice would you give to an entrepreneur that's listening and that may be struggling with the business? You've been doing this for 24 years. I'm sure you've had some lots of ups, but I'm sure you've had some downs too, as we all do.
Okay.
So is there one core piece of advice or a couple of pieces of advice you'd give to someone that may be struggling?
Well, I think the first is like being persistent is obviously important. And being positive, like I'm a unapologetic optimist. So, this quarter might be down, but next quarter will be better. And I probably am a little bit on the wrong side of optimism, but I'd rather be on the wrong side than on the other side and be pessimistic. Always learning. Well, even though I'm, the supposed expert, I don't know everything. And so learning and growing and always, being curious is also important because that not only helps you grow, but it helps your business grow and helps you identify opportunities. My business 24 years ago is not the business I have today. And if it was, I would be out of business. So I'm always looking for what are the opportunities? What are the services I can provide? Who needs what? I think that's really important because as a service-based business, I'm here to serve my clients, to help them with their problems, and I need to understand what those are. And I need to build my services in a way that's easy for them to buy, easy for them to like incorporate into their budget, but also into their team.
And
So, yeah.
where would you place focus on that list? Is that, and the reason why I ask this is I recently had a conversation with a fellow entrepreneur and she was struggling with her business. And her first thought was, okay, well, maybe I need to have this dramatic pivot. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I don't, it's going to depend. Every situation is going to be different. But do you find that that's a quality that's needed to that an entrepreneurs need to have is to kind of refocus themselves in situations like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, something's not working. You need to fix it. So you
Yeah.
need to address it. And again, kind of having your ear to the ground and understanding and not getting sort of stuck in your ways,
Yeah.
Like I may be 59, but I'm not going to get stuck in my ways. Like I
Yeah.
know I need to evolve and change. And it's a constant. This digital business is 3 or 4 years old, but I knew I needed people with the skills. So I have a couple of young people who, have the skills, have the knowledge. I'm working on building them and their knowledge and, positioning myself in the market as, and I also understood it, differentiated me from my competitors. They don't all do that. So whereas, there's other fellows and other experts, they don't all have a digital business. So, yeah.
And what advice would you give to someone that's listening that may be thinking of starting a business, but they're unsure as to whether or not they should?
You can always go back and get another job. My mom used to say to me, I don't understand why you just don't get a job. And I'm like, Mom, if I could just as easily lose that job in, like you're on as one of my other friends in the business says, your name is on a list somewhere, which I think is a bit of a negative, perspective, but you could lose your job and you could
Yeah.
lose, or you could lose your business. But if I think you need to, so it's not an irreversible decision, one, but I think one of the things people forget about is like what it takes to be an entrepreneur. So you have to be able to manage risk. So, and you have to design your business so it also fits in with your life and fits in with your risk tolerance. So I started my business when my daughter was born. I wanted to do my own thing. I thought I'd have more time to be a mom, which I did not, by the way. But 5 years later, I was a single mom. And all of a sudden, I had a mortgage to pay and a food to put on the table. I didn't have a husband with a nice salary that was my, so the way I managed my business and the way I looked after that business is very different. I made sure that I paid myself well, I invested in certain things, and I took contracts that were reasonably safe. And so I did, then I was doing a lot of government contracts, change and transformation work. Those contracts were, I'd have two or three, or I'd have one with a few side hustles, as they say. But I made sure that I had, a good contract to make to, and I was also mom with kids in hockey and swimming, so I didn't have time to network and build my brand, and I was just focused on the work. And they grew up. Now I can go network. I can do other things. I have like a higher risk tolerance, so I can change my business. And that was a factor as well. And I think if you don't do that, you have big dreams and you don't consider your own lifestyle and what you need and what you're comfortable with, I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I would agree. And regular listeners of this podcast already know this story. But when I was in my mid to late 20s, I started a marketing agency at the time, and I just bought a house. And everyone said to me, "Oh my God, if it doesn't work, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, worst case, I'll sell a house. I mean, it's not the end of the world." And it didn't work out. It lasted a year, and I was too young in retrospect, or inexperienced, I should say. And I didn't have to sell my house. I went and got a job, and now, all these years later, I've had another shot at this and run this business now for 10 plus years. So it's not the end of
Right.
the world, but I also think I also think you got to mitigate your risk. It's a really personal decision. Some people have a risk
Yes.
tolerance level that's higher than others, and you really got to manage that. But at the end of the day, if things don't work out, what you'll find, or what I found anyway, was I became very marketable because at least I tried. And at one point back then, when I was looking for work, I said, "Do I even put this on my resume?" Because I failed at it. I put it on my resume, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about. They didn't care that I'd failed. They said, "Oh, you did it. Good for you. You took a chance. Oh, I've always wanted to do that, and I never did it, and I regret it." And so, yeah, you never know where that's going to lead to down the road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't be afraid of failure, for
No,
sure. Or
Andrew.
rejection.
Yeah, well, yeah, you better get over that one fast if you're gonna be in business for yourself.
That's hard. That's hard for me. The people pleaser is like when I get turned down, or the budget's not there, or oh, we don't think it's important. Yeah, that's a hard one.
Hey, Andrew, before we went live, you had mentioned we talked briefly about some of the work you're doing in the community. Can you share that with our listeners?
Oh, sure. So, I'm a founding member of the Women in Philanthropy group for the Queens-Carlton Hospital, and I'm also part of 100 Women Who Care. And then our company does, we do pro bono work. A couple of years ago, we did some work for the Ottawa Women's Services, Immigrant Services Ottawa. Oh, I can't remember the acronym. I should have remembered. Well, I knew this question was coming. But they're a wonderful organization. They women who are new to Ottawa are often vulnerable, and they're often victims of abuse. And this organization Immigrants, Women's Services Ottawa. This organization has 100 wonderful stories of women that they've helped. And so what we did, they came to me for some help. I said, well, I'm not an I'm not an external marketing company. But then I realized that the stories that would help people open their wallets and organizations donate to them were inside the organization. So we built a strategy for them and helped them take the stories that are happening or the women that they're helping. And they've had remarkable success since then, which is really, I'm really, really proud of.
Wow, that's really good of you to do that. It must be very fulfilling for you.
It was very fulfilling, yes. And I still sort of coach and help them as well.
Good for you. Andrea, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about you and your services?
So I'm an active participant on LinkedIn. Would love a follow for my company, Vision to Voice Communications, or me. And our website is www, of course, Vision two, number two, the number two, and the word voice.ca.
Right.
Yeah, or at any local Ottawa networking events.
Thanks, Andrea, for your time today. Really appreciate you doing this.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.